expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Here we go again. Yes, we are who we are. One more time at the Mike Show here. Yes, at DDB Radio. One more time coming to you live. God is good, worthy to be praised. One more time. We also welcome Mike Live. We got Mike Live also, and also the Mike Radio Show here at DDB Radio. If you're driving your car and you want to be able to listen at a nice studio sound, you can go to www.mikebroadcastddb.com and follow the tune in radio station button. Follow it and you hear me live. God bless you, Maxine. God bless you, Crystal, my president. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm excited because we got a lot to cover today. I have a subject, a topic I want to really kind of untie and untwist and reveal from a biblical sense, and also dealing with some of the issues that face us here in our nation. Hello, Pastor Jose Sevilla. And I want to really deal with some stuff today. I believe that God has opened up to me. Very powerful. And I'm going to show you something from an Old Testament point of view, how to perform New Testament strategies. And it's so important to understand that this is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. We put on the mind of Christ. We give God praise. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory. He may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that our eyes are enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches that are inside the saints, and that exceeding greatness of your power to usward, because we believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominions, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, which is Christ's body that fills all in all. Now, what I want you to do real quick, I need for you to get your notebooks and get your Bible, and I want you to be able to help me today. I want to talk about the rock, the arrow, and the two willing workers, the rock, the arrow, and the two willing workers. And I want to talk about that today and show you something from a biblical point of view, how Old Testament speaks to things of the New Testament and our grace we live in today. I'm going to show you that the falling down and the canceling of satanic systems of racism, discrimination, unemployment, and systems that set up against a certain people and against our nation could be brought down if the church understand the power of dismantling spirits and understand the power of speaking of stuff that you cannot see. My pastor Jose said some folks still go against God's house. I want to know, since God is legal, some folks keep saying God is illegal. Just stand, Pastor Jose. I know what you're going up against. I've been there back in 1997, 1996 with the acre of land law. You're in the same spirit I was in years ago, but you'll win. Just keep standing. Hello, Larry Hickman. God bless you, Stephen Champion. God bless you, Charlene Canover. God bless you, Earlene Grissom. God bless you. And I just want to bring some things to you. I'm going to show you three things in the biblical text, and I'm going to interpret it for today's language and today's understanding. I'm going to talk about King Ahab, Jezebel, and David. And all three of them were in a spiritual war and defeated the enemy by using different methodologies and different strategies. David used the rock. When they took out King Ahab, he was shot in the shoulder, between the shoulder and the lower back. Which took him out. He was a king, and an arrow took him out. And then Jezebel, she was on the third floor, and two of the assistant people on her staff threw her out the window, and she hit the ground with so much force, her blood scattered every place. And these are three different types of weaponry that God uses to bring down spirits. Now, in the Old Testament, keep this in mind, I teach this all the time, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And this is why sometimes we don't understand how things flow and how things move, because we think that the same systems that we fight in the old system is the same when we use today. When God moved us past Jesus Christ, we move into a spirit called grace, and the battle is not physical. The battle is spiritual. It's stuff that you cannot see. All right. So be very careful when you actually did a text. You can't go into the Old Testament and use it exactly the same way it was used. I continue to say this over and over, and I want you to understand this. There's a thing called direct truths and indirect truths. Giving honor to Pastor Sharon, one of my spiritual daughters, get ready to adopt a child care center, and get ready to turn this whole center as an outreach center for Pastor Sharon and Minister Danielle, and about to do something over on the 15th Avenue side on 27th Street. God bless you, Michael Calhoun. God bless you, Jose Morales, one of my best fans. God bless you. So I want to show you something, and I want you to write this thing down. King Ahab was taken out by an arrow. All right. Jezebel was taken out by two willing workers. And David took out Goliath by a rock thrown in the head. Now, you got an arrow, you got a rock, and what I call two willing workers. And all of them are an example of how you have to approach certain things from different methodologies and different strategies. You know, I was growing up back in the day, and we used to have the thing called Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And my brother and I, we had the two robots. One robot was blue, one was red. And you kind of hit the buttons, and it just pushed their hand straight, and we just punch them out. Whoever hit the Rock'em Sock'em Robot in the head, and the head popped up, that was the winner. And we would go there and bang on the two buttons, and then finally when the head pop up, you know, you was the winner of the game. You know, it wasn't much strategy to that. You just kind of hit the buttons, keep hitting, and finally the hand would hit the head, and the head would pop up, and you would declare the winner. Now, then, of course, when you're young, you play that game for about 10 minutes, and after a while it's boring, because actually all you're doing is just pushing buttons and just pushing until hoping that the hand hit the head and the Rock'em Sock'em Robot head pop up. You know, it kind of reminds me of the church. We only got one strategy: scream real loud and just say Jesus' name 50 times. And finally, after Jesus' name gets screamed 50 times, we got the victory, and we spin around and shout, do the funky chicken, and fall on the floor, and we think we done did something. And that has become the strategy of a lot of the traditional churches that I've been around. All right, I always got to say that, because folks always try to tell me what I didn't experience. I can only tell you what I experienced. Your experiences might be different. I'm just telling you, I've been in ministry for 37 years. Got saved at 17, started preaching at 17. From 17 to 30, from 17 to 54, that's 37 years. And I've seen all types of games in the church, traditional spirits that have violated the truth power of God, the fake church versus the real church, the harlot church versus the church, the religion versus the relationship. I saw it all done in the name of Jesus, all done under the skies of the anointing. I'm led by the Spirit. Well, most of us were just playing a rebellion. We just wanted to obey God. We don't want to submit to leadership. So I'm going to show you by using these three stories. I hope I can cover this real fast, because there's a lot to cover. I'm going to talk about King Ahab. He went down first. Second, of course, was Jezebel, which was his wife. And number three was David, who shows up later, who knocks out Goliath with a stone or rock. Okay. Now, King Ahab, I think, came down or fell in the year 852 BC. He was the king of God's people, and God called King Ahab the worst king Israel ever had. He was called the worst king. Now, these are his people, the Israelites, and King Ahab was supposed to be leading them to the worship of Jehovah God. Instead, he married a woman named Jezebel, who led him to worship a spirit called Baal, B-A-A-L, and another spirit. And Jezebel had more authority over Ahab than Ahab had over Jezebel. And Ahab followed the rulership of Jezebel versus following Jehovah God. And Jezebel was called a witch. She was called a sorcerer. She was called someone that cast spells. And she even put makeup on her face to kind of dress up for her spirit, dress up for her deity. God has nothing. God doesn't have anything wrong with makeup. All right. Pentecostals and certain groups took this out of context. I'm against makeup. You know, it's the sign of the beast. You know, I'm against gold. You know, it's funny how people take scripture out of context. They go to 1 Peter and they took a scripture out of context. But that same scripture also says the putting on of clothes. So if you're going to be against makeup, you have to be against clothes. Isn't it the same context of scripture? That's why contextual study is so important, because you can always take something out of its contextual setting and make it say something you're not supposed to say. When you study the Bible, you got to do pretext, potext, post-text, and the text. And you got to read what is God saying at that particular time to a particular people, and what's the message that's trying to be communicated. Okay, that's very important. If you don't communicate the message properly and learn who God's talking to, you think he's talking to you. It's almost like we open the Bible up And the Bible said that Judas went and hung himself. And you throw the Bible up there and the finger come down, you push a button, and it said, go and do likewise. Okay, that's what the Bible says. No, you just put a bunch of the scriptures together to make it say what you want it to say. This is why I highly recommend SITU. I highly recommend you Pillar College and the stuff I'm training and equipping. And there are a few pastors and leaders I highly recommend on my broadcast who I think are great teachers, a balance of the scriptures. A lot of people are not as radical as I am and take this risk, and I understand everybody can't do what Pastor Mike does, and don't expect you to. 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and no two got the same fingerprint. Everybody does something differently, but we got to make sure we stay centered on biblical truths. So what I'm going to show you today is that there are three different ways where a system fell and collapsed, from King Ahab's strategy to Goliath's strategy to Jezebel's strategy. All three of them represent demonical principalities and powers. These are high-ranking spirits that rule over territories, had great political influence, and were what you call had types of power. And so God would set up these prophets in strategic ways to take them out. And it wasn't everybody. There were specific things sent to bring them down. God bless you, Felicia. So when you look at King Ahab, the Bible here says, and I hope to get there, that an arrow took him out. Now, the Bible doesn't say who shot the arrow. The Bible doesn't also say, the Bible also doesn't tell you that the arrow was particularly aimed at King Ahab. He was just in the fiery of the battle, and the arrow was sent, and it just accidentally, supposedly, went into his back and the lower shoulder and the middle back, apparently going through the back and hitting the heart and taking King Ahab out. As a matter of fact, while he was riding the chariot, King Ahab said, I'm hit. Run, run, run. And his blood was sprinkling all over the place, and he died slowly. And this was the king that ruled for 22 years. And so when the time came for God to remove him, God set up an arrow to pierce his back to go in between the armor. It was a particular shot in between the armor and the lower back to take out King Ahab, and he died in battle. And that was the removal of a system that was leading God's people in a wrong direction, all right? And that was King Ahab. And he was the seventh king, which means number seven means perfection. Let me say, at that point when he became king, he should have been perfected and mature enough to lead God's people in the proper direction. But due to the time of his election, due to the time of him being in that spot, he was taking God's people in the wrong direction. So God had to remove. So God allowed an evil arrow to hit him. It wasn't labeled for him. It was like a bullet that doesn't have his name on it. All right. It went into his back, and it took King Ahab out. And King Ahab represents a prince of false religion. All right, taking people on a worship of a deity or a demon that was not the worship of Jehovah God of Israel. And so King Ahab was influenced by his wife Jezebel. All right, Jezebel represents a prince of political influence. Okay, she understands power, she understands economic development. And of course, she is always telling King Ahab what to do. She's like a woman dominator, okay, stretching her power over her husband, and her husband's listening to her without bringing her into correction. And so Jezebel represents the prince of political influence. King Ahab represents prince of the false religion. And the Goliath represents prince of slavery. Now, these are three different princes, right? Now, King Ahab deals with religion. Jezebel deals with, I believe, economics. And Goliath represents slavery or institutionalized racism and discrimination. And all three of them represent systems of the day. Now, when God get ready to take out systems and cause things to dismantle and fall, he got a strategy and a methodology how he does it. That's why prayer and intercession and worship gets you to get the mind of Christ, so God can tell you what to do to take out a King Ahab, to take down a Jezebel, or to knock out a Goliath. Because they all three got brought down. King Ahab got brought down by an arrow, all right? Jezebel was thrown from the third floor with two people on her staff. As a matter of fact, when Jehu came to her house, she was living in a house like the Poconos. This was her vacation house. And so he comes to the bomb of her house, and she, when she saw him, this is deep, because she put her makeup on. She's dressing up for her demon. But when Jehu, that was the radical king who became in charge, he became king by radical promotion. He did not become king by tradition. He became king in a secret meeting. I'm going to show you this, because Elisha anoint told a prophet to go into a political military meeting, pull Captain Jehu out of the room, take him into the inner chambers, and you're going to pour oil on him. And once you prophesy, run like hell to get out. Now I'm going to give you my translation. Run. Don't stay there. So he does this. He anoints him, and he runs out the room and leave Jehu standing there. So Jehu people who kind of know him said, well, what did the prophet say? And first Jehu tried to play it off. He didn't say much. He said, stop playing with us. What did he say? He said, I'm the new king. And Jehu became a radical king. This was untraditional. This was not normal. God bless you, Nisi. God bless you, Eyes. I miss you, Nisi. God bless you. Hello, Joseph Board. God bless you. Felicia, God bless you. So he got a promotion that was radical, that was different, and that what people was not used to. He goes in just shaking stuff up, moving stuff out, stone cutting, and finally he gets to a point where he comes to the actual beginning rule of where everything stemmed from, which was Jezebel. That demon, that devil, that prince of darkness was influencing King Ahab. So the root of the problem was Jezebel. So if you take Jezebel out, you can replace with a whole nother system. But you need a Jehu who's willing to be radical enough to approach this system. The problem is we don't have Jehus. We got punks in the pulpit. We got people that are afraid. We got people not willing to put their neck out there. They're willing to only go. A lot of folk go. Everybody clap. Everybody vote for you. Everybody like you. Everybody think you the bomb diggity or lit. You know, but when God raised you up to tell you that you have to be able to go, when he tells you to go and you have to go forward with power, you have to go even though it costs you something. So Jehu took the chance, took the risk and went for it. He ends up at Jezreel. Where Jezebel is about to be taken out by Jehu. Look at all the J's. J-E-J-E-J-E. Look, Jezebel was living in Jezreel and going to be taken out by Jehu. All right, look at all the J's. J-J-J. All right? So when Jehu came to Jezreel to see Jezebel on the third floor, he says, by the way, who is up there on my side? And the Bible says two or three eunuchs, which represents, God bless you, Crystal, punks of the pulpit, which represent two or three. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and chapter 18, when two or three agree touching anything, it will be granted them. So this represents two or three people who are in agreement with you. Let me give you a word today. Some of you about to open up a corporation, LLC, or a business, or do a ministry. You need two or three that will believe in you. That's all you need, two or three. Two or three that are committed. It isn't everybody. Stop looking for crowds. Stop looking for large groups. Stop asking. We're going to call a citywide meeting. We're going to get everybody together. Forget it. It's a waste of time. Because once you get 20 folk together, 15 of them don't even like you. They just come in to see what you're doing. You got to believe God for the two or three that believes in what you say. It will stick with you through thick and thin. It will give you at least a three-year commitment. I'm telling you. You got to find someone who will give you at least a three-and-a-half-year commitment to where you're going. If you can find those three people, you got something to deal with. And sometimes God got to scatter them so you can find the two or three that will stick with you. Well, guess what? Jehu says, who on the Lord's side? Who on my side, rather? And the Bible says that they pick Jezebel up and threw her off the roof, off the third floor. And I thought it was so strategic that they never thought about throwing her off before. I'm kind of sitting there, I said, well, if y'all knew this was all it took, why did y'all throw her off before? Because you needed a threefold cord is not easily broken. When Jehu shows up, he is the prophetic shifting, the special anointed one, the special messenger that triggers things to move what would not move before. So sometimes God is preparing one person to go through all the hell first. So when you finally get in the position you're supposed to get in, you can shift everything else. Keep this in mind. Israel is only as powerful as David shows up. King Ahab is only as dead as that arrow that did not have his name on it was shot by a stranger. Watch how stuff shifts when you finally step in the position where God wants you to step into. Quite frankly, when you actually pray, you're only supposed to pray the prayers that God wants you to pray. Now, I want you to write that thing down. When you pray, you actually are supposed to learn how to pray the prayers that God wants you to pray, which means a lot of times we pray is our own selfish prayers. But when you start getting on the mind of Christ, you start praying. God bless you, Anthony Hernandez, one of my junior deacons in training. God bless you, Anthony. When you start praying, you start to align yourself with God's divine plan and assignment. And once you start sticking with God, God begins to align you up with his divine purpose. God bless you, Corey Moses. God bless you, man of God. God bless you, Delon Harrison. So when they start to align up, then God starts to tell you what to do. So Jehu was told specifically, you got orders. You are a judgment prophet. You have warfare in your blood. You're not there to make friends. You're here to drive out devils. You're going to be the judgment against Jezebel. for her taking away someone's property and treating them with a spirit of discrimination and racism. You're going to take her out. So Jehu shows up like with no mercy, man. This guy shows up with arrows. He shows up with arrows. Throw her from the roof. Throw her from the roof. His whole mentality is ruthless. And that's why sometimes you meet certain folks in ministries, we're quick to judge them and counsel them because they don't come as nicely packaged as you like. Everybody has a fingerprint to the ministry. And sometimes you start comparing folks, comparing apples to oranges, and the orange is an orange, and the apple is an apple, and a watermelon is a watermelon, and a strawberry is a strawberry. They're all fruit, but they all got different functions. And so sometimes we get mad at people because they don't function the same way we function. Used to be something on Sesame Street, Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Remember that? You understand it. In Sesame Street, so a conjunction brings two things together. Okay, and sometimes when you bring Jehu together with Jezebel, Jezebel falls and the kingdom of God advances. And so a lot of time you start praying and interceding, you're going to ask God to raise up Jehus, raise up Davids, raise up arrows, raise up rocks that will be thrown in the direction of leaders and policy makers that are bad for our community, bad for our city, bad for our nation. And this is why we don't really understand the true purpose of intercessory prayer and the real purpose of laying out before the Lord and praying. It's not to prove to someone you could pray long. Some folks feel because you pray long, your prayers are powerful. No, you just sound long and boring. Now, I prayed all night. For what reason? What reason you prayed all night? To prove to me you can outpray me? You prayed 10 hours, I prayed 10 minutes. Which one did God hear? The one that God wants to hear. You could be praying 9 hours and 40 minutes too long. God said, I didn't tell you to do that. You want to do what God wants to do at the time he tells you to do it. Nothing more, nothing less. You ever go to eat with someone at a restaurant, you ask them to bless the food, and they pray for 20 minutes? Ain't that some dumb stuff? The food getting cold. You know, you're praying a long prayer. Who asked you to have a Bible study before the meeting, before the meal? Pray quick. You know, sometimes I'll be joking with some of my people in my church. They say, Pastor Mike, pray. And I start praying these long prayers to see how long they're going to keep their eyes closed, keep their heads bowed. I said, Lord, please, Lord, ask them how to bless the peas, bless the mashed potatoes. Oh, Lord, watch over the watermelon. Keep the juice feeling good in our bones. And people be looking up with their eyes. And Mike, how long is prayer? I'm going to pray as long as y'all act like y'all religious. You know, good and well, you want to tell me to shut my mouth up. It's time to eat these beans and eat this meat. See, and sometimes we're spiritual at the wrong time. Our prayers shouldn't be repetitious, or Maxine, I say it like this, they shouldn't be repetitious in unbelief. God don't mind you repeating a prayer if the prayer you're repeating is affirming your faith, because the Bible says Christ prayed 3 times, Lord, if it be I will, take this cup from me. He prayed the same prayer 3 times. He didn't pray it in unbelief. He prayed it in affirmation of his confession. So to say a prayer or to confess the word over and over, it is to affirm your prayer and to affirm that you believe in that God is doing what he said, is to keep your faith strong. So what you're listening, you're watching Mike Live, but you're also listening to Mike Radio at www.mikebroadcastddb.com. .com. And you can also call in after the 2:30 hour at 973-925-4559, because I want to release an arrow, I want to release a rock, and I want to ask God to put people in high places to bless you. That's a special prayer for those who call in today after our first break. All right, Maxine. All right, Felicia. Amen. God bless you. And Vanetta Gray, I want to especially shout out to Vanetta Gray, her brother Michael Dees, and the whole family. I did a home going for her son. I ask that God continue to grace you. I hope Vanetta Gray and your family come out to my church service on tomorrow at 535 Broadway in Paterson, New Jersey, on Broadway and 23rd Street at 9 a.m. to 10:30. It'll be good. This will be the last church service on a Sunday morning. I think it is. It may be one more Sunday. I think it's one more Sunday. But you need to come out tomorrow, Vanetta. Invite all those men. I give an altar call. Close to 40 or 50 black men came to the altar to rededicate their life to Christ and doing some positive things for their community. So what I'm teaching about right now, of course, is the rock, the arrow, and two willing workers. The rock, the arrow, and the two willing workers. And I'm going to show you the scripture in a few minutes, but I'm trying to show you. Oh, we already on our first break. Lord, I've been going already a half hour. Hey, we're going to take our first break for the Mike Radio Station. We're going to come back and stay tuned.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Featuring one-on-one care, Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
Okay, what I want to do, I want to show you some scriptures to this, and I want to try to train you and equip you, and listen to me, how to deal with the strategy of using the rock, using the arrow, and using the two willing workers. And these are all spiritual techniques and tactics for dealing with spirits of darkness, spirits of control and manipulation that have shut down the effectiveness of the local church. And you're going to find out that King Ahab was killed in battle. All right. He was taken out in battle. He was a king for 22 years, and God called him the worst king Israel ever had. And God allowed him to occupy this seat for 22 years. I told you, you can occupy a spot for a long time. It doesn't mean God is pleased and God likes it. It's just that God allowed you to occupy it for 22 years. But when the time came for you to be removed, an arrow shot through the back and took you out. Now, I'm going to tell you what an arrow represents in the New Testament. An arrow represents a sharp word that is sent in your direction, and the point of that word is very sharp. Now, there's another scripture I want to put with this. An arrow is only as potent as the tip of the arrow. And according to Eastern Times, in order to sharpen the point of an arrow, it must scrub up against another piece of metal. So in order for the tip of an arrow to be sharp or the edge of the sword to be sharp, it has to rub up against each other. Watch this. So one arrow rubs against this arrow, causes friction, and you make that point of that arrow sharp. Let me make it plain for some of y'all who don't understand this. Do you watch the Marvel movies? You know the guy named Hawkeye? All right. Hawkeye is a biblical character. He's a trained, know how to pull that arrow back and let that arrow travel a distance to penetrate the enemy. And an arrow got a lot of force, man. It's probably as powerful as a gun today. What they used for arrows back then represents gunfire today. And based on the armed strength and the marksmanship of the one using the arrow will determine how effective that arrow is. That is nothing but sharp, strategic, tactical ministry. And if you don't understand how to operate with a spirit of being tactical and smart and the methodology, you'll use the same rock'em sock'em robot strategy. Just right hand, left hand, Jesus' name, pray all night. We have no creativity in ministry. Everything is corny and boring. Everything's behind four walls. I'm sick of it. Sick. It's time to send arrows through McDonald's. Spiritually, not physically, spiritually. It's time to send spiritual bombs, not B-O-M-B-S, but B-A-L-M, which represents healing, oils, into places that people don't expect you to show up. You'd be amazed that just shopping in Walmart, so many folks in those stores are suffering from diseases, mental distress, and by you just shopping, you'll be led to meet certain people, and you'll walk up to them, and you'll minister to them, you'll pray for them and hug them, and they'll be amazed that the kingdom of God showed up in Walmart. But ain't nobody training folk how to go in Walmart and minister. We're just training folk how to do church stuff on Sunday mornings, like we turn the other 6 days over to the devil. Dumb. All right? Help me out. So King Ahab is married to Jezebel, and he's ruling for 22 years, and that rulership is satanic and demonic, and God finally got it that an arrow would go between the armor and the lower back and get into a spot, which means that God has a way of taking out kings who don't expect to be taken out. All right, they're thinking to rule and reign, set policy, do what they want to do, conquer, and all of a sudden there's an arrow with their name on it that's coming towards their direction. And them arrows are released by intercession, by praise, by worship. And this is why praise and worship have to take on a military mindset. The Bible calls our warfare in the New Testament sword of the Spirit, which is actually face-to-face combat, which means the most effective way for the word of God is to meet people face-to-face, up close and personal, and able to take that word, that sword, and slice, and able to create a relationship, a koinonia, so that strongholds are broken and mental walls are collapsing. Okay? Now I'm going to show you this. King Ahab, David, and Jezebel. King Ahab taken out by an arrow, a sharp point on the arrow, and the sharpness is based by the friction, by the fellowship. All right, watch this. Right, see this? See, if two arrows come together, a sword come together. When you grind like this, it causes it to become sharp. And this is why when you enter into covenant relationship, it's supposed to keep you connected, even though you argue and you fuss and you fight. There's a covenant so that as you sharpen each other, the edge becomes sharp. All right, and this is really what marriage is about. It is a public confession of covenant so that the witnesses can see that you have confessed that this one is your partner for the rest of your life, and they can hold you accountable to the confession you make in front of witnesses. It's really a court case because it's to show the community that you have set this one apart as the one you were drawn with throughout until you die, to death do you part. And so that's also symbolic to relationships when it comes to business partnerships, and your word is your bond, and contracts were done back in those times by a handshake or even a blood covenant. And so you would rather say, I'd rather break the covenant to walk away from you. And that's why by staying close together, a grinding takes place, which makes the tip of the arrow sharp and makes the edge of the sword sharp. Watch this. And the metal becomes sharp. So when something is sharp, it doesn't take much to penetrate. if the edge is dull, it's harder to get through. If I shot an arrow and the edge is dull, I might hit you in your chest, you fall to the ground. But you know what else will happen? You will not be able, you'll be able to bounce back because you fall on the ground. But if the arrow was sharp at the tip and it penetrated and it went inside, then the enemy stays out, which means a lot of us are praying, but the prayers are not accurate. We're praising for the wrong reason. We don't understand that God allows our praise to be sharp, our prayers to be sharp. Hello, Mahogany. Hello, Sheila McDaniel. Hello, Flavio. Hello, Joshua Quinn Williams, the greatest soloist in the world. So we all need accountability partners, at least three. That's right, Linda. And this keeps us sharp. So somebody can let you know, fix your hair. Brush those teeth. Iron that shirt. You ain't walk past no iron all day. You walk out of the house with that wrinkled shirt. You ain't see the iron sitting there? See, this is what people do, and that's your accountability partners. Or someone is highly offended, they can tell you that you offended them or you said something was wrong. And due to the partnership or the relationship, you're able to communicate that message to each other. And this is what it means to have a covenant of confession. Beautiful Mahogany Smith. Oh, you are good. I like that. Sheila McDaniel, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And so, what I notice here is King Ahab was taken out in the midst of the battle. Let me give you something prophetically. That means in this 2018 season, there are going to be people who've been writing policies, writing everything against the word of God, trying to hinder the church, trying to stop it, and negativity. And while they're in their own battle, in their own mindset, doing what they want to do, something they don't even expect will come sweep them and take them out the place. Watch that's going on right now. I'm telling you. Then you got also David. David represents a rock. Now, I want you to watch this. Goliath represents, I call, a principality of slavery. Why you say that, Pastor Mike? Because when David was talking to Goliath, this is what Goliath said for 40 days. Pick out someone that can represent you because I represent the Philistines. I'm the number one warrior. So if I beat you, you become our slaves. If you beat me, we become your slaves. See, that's called slavery. That's a system. It's systematic. Now, back in the 1800s, maybe I'm going to say close to 400 years ago, a type of slavery was done to the black men, the Black Sea, which was the worst slavery of all times. We do know all generations and all people went through some type of slavery, but none to the degree of the black African American. You can do the statistical study and see how it has damaged us for years. Even the post-syndrome stress levels have stepped in due to slavery. Now, the system supposedly had been broken up in 1836. I forgot what year it exactly. Someone can maybe get me that information. But the system has been reconfigured, and it comes in other directions. So you got to rise up as a David and send the rock towards the head. Now, keep in mind, when David released the rock, which is also another word for the word, because Christ is called the rock. Christ is the rock. And when you release the rock, and rock is also a name for father. Keep that in mind. So rock means foundation. It means father. It means Jesus the Christ. It also means a piece of hard material that is broken off from something much, much, much bigger. So David takes the rock, releases it in a slingshot, and based on the skill set of David, the rock hit Goliath in the head. Now notice where the rock hit Goliath. It hit him in the head. It did not hit him in the behind. It didn't hit him in the shoulder. It didn't hit him in the chest. The rock was specifically sent towards the head. Do you know what I'm teaching you right now? There is an intercessory prayer. There is a praise. There is a worship where you focus your faith on a particular headquarters where something stems from, where the slavery start from, where the spirit of violence start from. Wherever the foundation is the stronghold. You need to focus your faith, put your feet on that property, get near that place, and start dismantling. Release a rock towards the headquarters. I can teach some great things on that. David throws the rock, hits Goliath in the head. Goliath is 9 feet 5 inches. Somebody says 10 feet, all right? He falls over on the ground. And some biblical translation says the rock already killed him, said slew him. But sometimes you read the Hebrew language, it could be tricky. It could mean that he knocked the giant out and the giant can get back up. So what David does, he runs over on top of the giant, watch this, y'all, takes the sword out of Goliath's hand on the ground and then decapitates his head. Christmas says slavery officially ended in U.S. December 1865. All right. And I think according to some Black Lives Matter training, it might even be later than that. We'll find out the correct history on that. Thank you, Crystal, my president. 1865. David Rowley, Reverend David Rowley. So he took the sword out of Goliath and decapitate the head. He took the head off to make sure Goliath can't get back up. The system can't rise again. It is totally dismantled. This is the hour. Let me tell you something. You better start praying that God raise up Davids. And Davids are young men and women who are not religious, not interested in titles. They're interested in the presence of the Lord. And they show up in the nick of time in the most unusual way, carrying McDonald's fish and chips to his brothers. Shows up. Here's the conversation of Goliath talking smack. And because David is already a warrior, already a worshiper, already not afraid of nobody. He said, I ain't afraid of him. I want to know what I'm going to get for taking this stain out my clothes. He said, well, you can get the king's wife. You get the king's daughter as a wife, and you have to deal with the IRS no more. You'll be free from taxes. And David said, oh, you got to go. I'm going to take you out. And based on that reward system motivated David to say, you got to go. King Saul heard of it and called David to a meeting, and David gives King Saul a lesson. He said, "This I treat this giant like I treat a lion or a wolf and a bear. Oh, my. When I was a shepherd, when a lion or wolf would come, they snatch off one of my sheep. I'd chase them and run them down." See, David knew how to run. Good shape. All right. That's why the Bible says Jesse sent his son David to go check on his brother. And the Bible said that David ran to go check on him. David was always into running because he was in shape. All right. So you want to ask folks who are in shape spiritually, economically, and socially, who got the ability to carry rocks into battle that can knock out headquarters. There is a Greek term for prince in the Greek called arche, A-R-C-H-E. Same word we get for archie from the comic books. All right. But arche means where the rule begins. Where the headquarters start. Another term is a term for strongholds, something that has been established. You know, I told you the story before, but let me just repeat this. I think I'm just talking today. I was going to try to get the scripture to read it, but let me just get this out. I did a sermon 2 years ago at a conference about a hornet's nest that was on my back porch when I was living in Patterson by the East Side area. And we ignored this hornet nest or this wasp nest being built. And you kind of thought it was cute. Look at the wasps hanging out. Look at the wasp. Look at the hornet. Look at them. And what they did was they was building this large globe-like nest on my back porch. This is so true. And we ignored this hornet nest. Just let it just build. And these hornets and these wives just coming in there. And this thing ended up looking like the size of a globe. Remember the globe we had in history and geometry and geography? That was the size of the nest. And so after a while, you know, my wife and family was afraid to go through the back porch. We start coming through the front because this big old nest was building because we ignored it. Listen, we ignored it. Whenever you ignore slavery, whenever you ignore discrimination, whenever you ignore systems in your county or your region and you don't deal with it, that's like looking the other way as these bees and these wasps grow and build. Well, guess what I had to find out? I talked to a person that deals with insects, killing of insects. I forgot the name of what they call that. When you kill insects, what they call that? When they take out insects. Well, I've got the name of it. Someone posted for me. You hire someone to take out insects. Anyway, what they call that? When you take out insects. You hire someone. They come spray your house. Get rid of the ants and the roaches and stuff. I forgot the name of it. But anyway, I called them on the phone and I asked them, how do you remove wasps or remove hornets from a nest? And this is what he said. You ought to hire us to come out there. Well, I said, well, how much is it to hire you? Well, the first hour is $250. I said, oh, forget it. Listen, I'm going to the store and get some Raid. And this is what he told me. He said, well, if you plan to do that, make sure you don't stand near the nest. Because once you stand near the nest, they release a sound or a type of warning to the other hornets and wasps in the nearby area who are not at the nest. So if you start messing with the nest, these hornets come from all the directions and will attack you. So make sure you far away when you plan on spraying it. Now, exterminator. Thank you, Keisha. Oh, my God. I couldn't think of an exterminator. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, my hog. Exterminator. So I'm in my back porch, and I'm going to have to do part two of this next week. I'm going to do some of Mike Lock. I know I can cover all this about the rock, the arrow, and the two willing workers. I'm inside my kitchen on the back porch, on the back porch area, behind a screen door. And about maybe close to about 4 or 5 feet away is the wasp or the hornet nest. I forgot which one it was. And I went to a store and bought wasp spray. Wasp spray can spray close to 15 to 20 feet. and it has an aim to it. As a matter of fact, they tell you to carry wasp spray when someone tried to rape you or do something wrong. You spray them in the face, and it'll dismantle them for about 15, 20 minutes. You can get away. It can also blind people temporarily. Sometimes it's better than mace. Wasp spray. I'm going to teach my daughter to carry that. All right. So when I took the wasp spray, all right, I put the wasp spray outside of the screen door, and I shot it directly at the nest. Now, I want to show you this because this is the point I'm making. David had to hit Goliath, particularly in the head area. It had to be sent at that spot. That's why some prayer meetings are a waste of time, because you're praying at the wrong location. Now, I know people are not used to this. We think the prayer meeting is Wednesday night at the church house, when the prayer meet should be at the PTA meeting inside the school building. The prayer meeting should be at the corner where the last guy was murdered and shot at. The prayer meeting should be inside of Walmart. The prayer meeting should be inside of McDonald's. See, we got a lot of nerve to take God's tools and take God's stuff and then tell God what we're going to do. Prayer is prayer when we pray the prayers that God wants us to pray. True prayer is prayer when we pray the prayer he wants us to pray. So not only does God answer prayers, he answers the one he tells you to ask. So true practicing of prayer ministry is how to pick up on the mind of God, so you are communing with God the way God wants to be communicated to. Back to my story. So I took the wasp spray and I shot at the all over the nest. Now, as I shot the nest, I saw wasps and hornets come from all different directions looking for the culprit that was attacking the nest. I was behind the screen door, but I was shooting a full can. I emptied a whole can out, and I baptized that whole nest with the poison. I'm making it real plain, so understand this. And so what happened is I baptized that whole nest with the poison. And what happened was, when I finally seen that no other bees or wasps were coming and leaving the nest, I did just like David. I was the rock that hit the headquarters. That was where the beginning rule started at. Then I took a mop with the long handle, and I began to knock the nest down. Now, I didn't get close to the nest. I made sure. When I opened the nest up, there were all these other eggs inside. This is true. I felt like I was like that picture called, what's that scary picture that you go and they see these monsters and on another planet. They had to remove them. The aliens. I felt like I went in there and all these eggs was inside of this nest. And I went and I sprayed the nest, baptized it. And then they said, the exterminator told me, you got to remove the nest totally. Get rid of the scent. Because they'll come back and they will rebuild in that same spot. So I had to spread in the spot. I had to clean the area. I had to remove Goliath. And this is what David did by chopping off the head. He removed him. Some pray long enough at the location that God tells them to. We like the comfortable feeling of being inside of a church building, 12 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning, to tell folks we prayed all night. And guys, I'm so glad you chose to pray. You want to pray. That wasn't prayer I wanted. I wanted you outside on 12th Avenue and 23rd Street for an hour and focus your prayers on this corner where four black men have been shot in the last 6 months. I want to clean this area out and clean these devils off this area and shut these doors down. See, we want to pray the prayers we want to pray. And that's not what God is doing. True prayer is to become aligned to what God is doing. And if you're doing something that God's not doing it, stop doing it. If you're doing something and God is not doing that, that's a waste of time. You need to align yourself to what God is doing, and that's when the anointing comes. This is when arrows start lining up to help you, rocks start lining up to help you, and people will be placed in political positions that will be a blessing to you. I'm trying to tell you, this stuff is powerful, man. So King Ahab taken out by an arrow. David takes out Goliath by a rock that's thrown towards his head, which represents RJ, the headquarters, which also represents the stronghold, takes him out. This Goliath represents slavery, discrimination. You got intercessory prayer that can drive those spirits out. The difficult thing about discrimination and racism, you don't see it. And some folks even know they're even doing it. Sometimes they don't even know they're doing it because it's just innate. It's just in their innate nature. I asked one group one time, and good friends of mine, I said, man, I like your board of directors, man. And I asked this white group, rich white group, European Christians, I said, how come you have no one black on your board? There's no one black on there. You're ministering to a black community, but there's no black people on your leadership. And the guy was humble enough to say, you know what, Pastor McDuffie, I thought about that. I thought maybe that may have been wise. I said, why don't you mix your board up a little bit? Put someone black on there, put a Hispanic on there, put a Latino. Mix your board up. That will make you more adaptable to the community that you're going into. And the white minister submitted and said, well, thank you for showing me that. And we became good friends. See, there's a way to bring down systems and change things if you're strong enough to speak. What we do, we look the other direction and let the wasp nest grow and let it grow. And that's what's wrong with our religious church. So this is what happens, how slavery in its, what I call in its original form, was dismantled. When you got people like Frederick Douglass and people who stood up and spoke against the powers that be and stood up, whether it were the first black female with the hair products, who came out and began different Bethune College, different people who stood up for right. These are rocks thrown towards a system and stay with it long enough until the system was dismantled. All right, got 10 minutes left. And I'm trying to show you something, that this is how you really do spiritual warfare. So you got King Ahab, you got Goliath, and you got Jezebel. Jezebel is probably what I want to get to and read before I close out. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 9, I'm going to show you something I think was kind of funny. It's not funny, but I like how the scriptures put this. 2 Kings chapter 9, and I want to show you the removal of Jezebel, who represents what I call the prince that started everything. It was the prince of political influence. And I want to show you that we have to understand that when God begins to raise up apostolic and prophetic ministries, there have to be radical changes. And I'm not telling you everybody is called to do this. That's why the Bible says he called some to be apostles and prophets. And to be an apostle and prophet is not going around prophesying houses and cars who you're going to get married to. Apostles and prophets represents foundational changes, the start up of different governments, the way to look at ministry totally different. And people who hang out with apostles and prophets, you have to have tough skin, because you can get easily offended. I know folks get easily offended because I don't check on them, I don't call them, I don't come visit them. You know, I left you a message, Pastor McDuff, you didn't call me back. Yeah, you and 400 other people. So I don't call you back. You get mad. You get upset. You get mad. Hold an attitude. We don't have no tough. We don't have no tough skin. You know, it's funny. I used to hang out with Apostle Miles Monroe, and I never met him. Never got to have a long conversation with him. Never got a long conversation with him. But I was able to talk to him 4 or 5 minutes in between. I would hug him for a quick, and we never had a long conversation. But I never took offense to that. I just said that's his mantle. I get what I got to give him, and he's still the man of God. Our church folk will get mad at you for not calling him back. Yeah, I left you a message. You ain't call me back. Yeah, I left you. Yeah, you and 4,000 other people. Wait your turn. And if no one calls you back, just wait. And wait for God to do what he got to do, because there's other ways that God can teach you. In 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu gets to verse 30. Look at this, and I'm going to show you. This is deep. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, and looked out the window. This is why some church folk don't like makeup, because they think it's the mark of Jezebel. Folks make me laugh. And they also say gold is a mark of the beast. We all working for it. Religious folk make me laugh. Verse 31, as Jehu entered the gate with thanksgiving. See, when you start giving God thanks, you enter into portals. You enter into realms. Enter the gate, she asked, have you come in peace? She called him Zimri, you murderer of your master. And the Bible says Jehu looked up at the window and called out. Look what Jehu does. Watch this, y'all. He looked up to the window and called out, who is on my side? That's strange. Why don't you shoot an arrow? Because that's not the strategy right now. Two or three eunuchs looked down at Jehu. And then he said, throw her down. Now, you know how deep that is? Pick her up and throw her butt out the window. That's ruthless. That's rough. That's the type of authority you need when you come to praise and worship. When you start dancing, you're throwing stuff down. You know, prophetic acting and praise dance, you're supposed to act out the prayer answer. When you see people using their hand and pulling stuff down, that represents Satan falling, Satan being overthrown. All right. Yes, you have to have tough skin. My sister and pastor and my ex is a prophet and an apostle. I don't believe everyone is called to them, because you definitely can't be easily offended. That's right. All right. And the Bible says, throw her down. Jehu said, so they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered under the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Jehu, took his horse and stepped on top of her. Now, I got to go. I went real quick today. I gave you a lot of stuff. This is a show you have to watch over and over because you won't get this all together. I talked about the rock, the arrow, and the two willing workers. And those two or three picked that witch up and threw her out the window and destroyed her. The system of political influence over God's people was destroyed. The giant called Goliath was brought down. No more slavery. And the prince of false religion, King Saul, was taken out by an arrow. An arrow, a rock, and two willing workers. Hey, thank you for watching Mike Live, the Mike Show here at DDV Radio. Also watching Mike Live. Go to my GoFund account, please support me. Go to my church service tomorrow at 535 Broadway at 9 a.m. to 10:30. 90 minutes, that's all. Come through the gates, come through the back door. Support me. Gotta go. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers, active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.